Hey everyone, welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. It's springtime, the time of many storms and baseball season. And so I know that Alan is a huge baseball fanatic. I'm not so much, but every once in a while, especially when you get to the end of the season, there's guys who get into slumps pitching. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today, aren't we, Alan?
Yeah, if you ever followed a baseball team, you know you've got even the best players go into a time of slumps. And if you're a preacher, you've actually experienced preaching slumps. I know I've had them. Trent, you can relate to that. You've had preaching slumps. And so we just thought today we'd have a brief conversation about, you know, why do we get in those kind of slumps? And then how do we get out of a slump like that? You know, baseball players have all their way of getting out of a slump. Sometimes manager will give them a day off. They'll change their spot in the batting order. You know, baseball players are weird. Sometimes they'll store their bat and some, you know, they'll put perfume or something on it. I don't know. They come up with all kinds of goofy stuff. So
I'm not saving my lucky socks, I tell you that.
Yeah. But when you don't start cleaning things, you got problems. That's what too many of them do. So pastors, encourage you, keep doing your laundry no matter what we talk about today. But so we thought this would be a fun discussion. So how do we get in a slump? I mean, that's really a good question because we've experienced them. If you're new to ministry, you may not have experienced it, but you will. And it's one of those things when you're done preaching, you just kind of have this sense of, I didn't connect. I didn't feel like the sermon came together, and I feel kind of empty having preached it. And that's kind of an indicator that you're in a sermon slump. So when that happens week to week to week, it's very problematic. So how do we get there? I mean, that's probably the first question that we could ask ourselves.
Yeah, and you know, keep in mind what Alan said is really true. You know, one time thing, we've all had those times where we didn't feel like we connected or that God's word came across, and then somebody will come up to us and say, hey, that was the best sermon I've ever heard, you know. If it's a one-time thing, don't let it stress you out. But if it's a continual thing that you're struggling, especially if you don't feel like that you are able to communicate, then, you know, that's a time that you need to do some reevaluation. And we have several things here that we want to share with you of what can lead you into a preaching slump. So, Alan, the first one is that you've been in a season of extreme busyness. And before we started recording, we both can identify with this.
Yes. I mean, we are both incredibly busy right now. You've got teams coming in doing work at your camp. You've got the responsibilities you have with churches. We've got quite a few pastorless churches right now working with those churches. We've got some family things that we're trying to take care of. So this is an extremely busy time. And so, you know, I'm excited to preach Sunday, but I get nervous because, you know, when you're busy, you're in danger. And busyness can affect us. And one of the areas it affects is our sermon preparation. You don't have as much time to prepare as you're used to having because times you block off have been interrupted for different reasons. And so you're not maybe as fresh as you normally are. And you can get into a season where that doesn't happen just one week, but it happens week after week after week. And you kind of lose your way. You lose your connection to your sermon series. You lose, you know, you just kind of lose a lot of momentum in your preaching. So busyness is certainly one of those.
That's for sure. And so, you know, you want to watch that. And that's why you need to protect some time. The second one, Alan, is I've seen this affect me. Maybe that you're dealing with conflict at your church or even in your own household. There could be some conflict that you're trying to work through or that it's really taking a toll emotionally on you. You're maybe not getting the sleep that you want because you're just rolling these things over and over in your head. And so conflict can really affect a lot of things in your ministry, and especially as you're trying to put together your sermons and you're seeking God. And so it can just be a struggle to do that.
Yeah, and if you're having conflict with your church, you might be looking out in there and wondering what that person's thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's not really a healthy thing to be doing when we're preaching. And it's going to affect your preaching. And so people are going to kind of look at you kind of funny. And then your feedback seems kind of cold and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, conflict, it affects everything. When there's times of conflict and it's unavoidable, you're going to have it. You know, how do you preach through it? How do you get through it? Those certainly challenging times. Well, Trent, maybe a similar thing is when we have conflict with God, because maybe our spiritual life isn't so vibrant. That's the third thing we want to just say is that there are times, and we all go through spiritually dry seasons, that maybe mm-hmm. your own spiritual life just isn't what you're used to it being. And that shows up in your preaching sometimes.
Yeah, there's, you know, and a lot of this, the things we've already mentioned about busyness and conflict can make us feel like we're in that valley of dry bones, you know, and that we don't have the energy, we don't have the passion to do the things and do the job that we're used to doing and do the ministry that we're used to doing. So it can really affect us in those ways. The fourth thing is that, and maybe if you've been traveling, Alan and I travel quite a bit, maybe you've been away from the pulpit for a while. And that can affect you. You know, you kind of get in that sweet spot of doing preaching. But if you've not been preaching for a while, that can be different, can it, Alan?
Yeah, if you haven't been doing it, so you can get out of rhythm. And then the other side too, Trent, is if you've been in rhythm too long, you know, that you've also, you haven't been. So, you know, I've been gone for a few weeks and I feel like I forgot how to write a sermon. Or the other side, I'm preaching the same sermon over and over again, and people are like, didn't we just hear that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So either side of this equation really can have an impact that we need to recognize. We're going to come back to some suggestions here in a bit, but we need to recognize that multiple voices are needed. We also need to learn how to take advantage of the time we are away to sharpen mm-hmm. our skills and things like that. So how can we come back stronger and not trying to figure out what's going on? So I think those are both really good, whether you have or haven't been away from the pulpit in a while. Trent, what about our sermon habits? Our fifth one we talked about here is our own habits regarding sermon preparation. I almost hate to admit it, but pastors, if you're out there and you're listening, you probably know it's true. We all get a little bit lazy sometimes in our sermon preparation.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know about you, Trent.
That's really true, you know, and it goes hand in hand with the, you know, if we've been traveling or if we've been doing other things and we kind of aren't doing this week to week, you know, preparing sermons, or we've been dealing with just exhaustion. And so we end up getting out of those habits that we know that we've learned. And so all that kind of builds, it snowballs, right? And so you can't do the things that you're used to doing. And it shows to your people when you, and I would say right here, I know that we're not to the what to do part, but this is a good place for you just to be honest with your church sometime, just to say, hey, all right, right now I'm struggling, you know, and so I need you to pray for me. But yeah, and so that kind of goes with our last one on the why is you're not thinking enough of the congregation. And you're not, you know, you're preaching at them instead of preaching to them, and you're not being honest with them. So it's a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons we kind of get into a slump is, you know, I think about if you put it in the idea of a baseball hitter, you know, the guy who's maybe he's known for his speed and base hits, and he gets on base with his speed, but then he falls in love with hitting home runs, and he's not using his skill set to the best. And, you know, everyone seems to know it except the person sometimes batting, because, yeah, hey, I hit three home runs, so I should try to, you know, become the next Babe Ruth. And maybe that's not what we're supposed to be. And I think that happens to all of us sometimes. We stop thinking about the congregation. We start thinking about ourselves, and this is what I want to say. This is where I want it to go. And we're not looking at the other context that we need to look at outside the Bible. And so if you're out there and you're preaching your heart out, but you're not connecting to the people and thinking about the congregation, you're not going to get the kind of feedback that you want. You're not going to get any feedback. And so feedback helps us. It pours into us. I mean, you know the difference between preaching in a dead church and preaching in a live church. I mean, people are listening. People are longing to hear the word of God explained to them. And you go into a dead church or a church where the expectations are low or people are used to not being connected with, and it's crickets. And you can really feel that difference.
You really can. And so that really leads into the how do we get out of this slump thing? Because the first thing, and Alan put together a note this week, is to still yourself. You know, if you're trying to be someone else, you know, like as Alan gave us that example of a hitter who's usually a base hitter, all of a sudden he's hitting home runs and he thinks that's his sweet spot. But God called you, God enables you and equips you. So you need to be yourself, right, Alan?
Yeah, you got to be who you're called to be. You've got to be true to who you are. And then you also have to just kind of pause and recognize this is who you are. And so, you know, you go into this process of recognizing what God has called you to be and who God has called you to be. And just let the peace of God work in that, in you, and let him put you at ease in the preaching, because it's not about us anyway. It's about him. And so we want to put our focus back on him. So sometimes it's just stepping out of the intensity of it all and recognizing that this isn't really about me to begin with. It's about him. And so that's where it begins. And all he's ever asked me to do is be faithful in who he's called me to be and what he's called me to do. And that's what I'm doing, and making preaching very simple from that standpoint.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, as we're being who God called us to be, then we're realizing that we need that relationship with God, falling in love with him. And that automatically, I think, is going to overflow into a relationship with his word, because that's the main way he communicates to us. And so we want to encourage you to fall in love with the word of God again. Don't be the eisegesis guy, you know, reading what you want one verse to say, but instead be looking at the whole of God's word and just getting into it, not to put together a sermon, but to just have it fill you and feed you.
Yeah, we need to be people who really draw things out of God's word and just look at it in amazement, to know that you've read a passage 20 times and the 21st time it said something you've never seen before. Mm. And it's amazing how God's word does that. And we need to be people who are dedicated to the word of God. I think sometimes when we get in a preaching slump, it's because we're trying to find other sources. Well, they've heard the Bible stories, they've heard all this stuff, so what else can I find? And that's just not true. It always, you know, I always remember a wise man told me a good sermon always begins with a good text. And that's just true. And if you want to get out of a preaching slump, go back to the basics. And that's starting with a good text and letting the sermon come out of that. Now, there's something we can do on a personal side, too, Trent. You added this in, and I'm embarrassed that it wasn't in the original part of the note, but I'm so grateful you added this in. What else do we need to do on a personal side when we feel like we're kind of in a spiritual slump?
Well, you know, a while ago I mentioned being honest with your congregation, and I think that we need to be honest with God, and we need to be going back to the basics of prayer, doubling down on your prayer time. You know, as I read through the story of Martin Luther and how much that he, you know, when he had super busy times, he would double his amount of prayer. You know, the temptation is to say, no, you know what, I need some extra time, so I'm not going to pray. Instead, I'm going to go do the other thing, when in fact, we need more prayer. And so we want to encourage you to pray. If you feel like you're in a slump, that's a perfect time to stop and pray.
So that ties into this one. That might reveal to you that you need to take a couple of weeks as a break. Maybe you need to take just an intentional getaway, think about it. Or, you know, maybe you're coming back from that break. What did you do over that break to prepare yourself mentally? Did you think about some sermons? Did you think about your people and all those kinds of things? But take a break. Sometimes you just need to get away from everything and clear your head, clear your thoughts. I love, one of the things I love that I heard as a suggestion is, pastors, if you're taking a vacation, take either the Sunday before your vacation or the Sunday after your vacation and let someone else preach. And then you take one Sunday off. You get two Sundays where you're the pastor, you're still there, you're letting someone else preach, but you're drawing in, and then someone else can fill in, and you can use the same person to fill in for 2 weeks or whatever. But it just can be a really great time to kind of clear your mind, clear your brain. And most people would understand, hey, you know, they've been on vacation, didn't have time to prepare a sermon. So there you go. You've got two weeks to work with, clear your head, and you're going to come back feeling a lot stronger.
I think that's a great opportunity and a great suggestion, Alan, because if you're like me and you're still working on that sermon in your head while you're on vacation, right? And so if you've asked someone else to preach for you for that Sunday, then that gives you an opportunity to shut your brain down just a little bit and actually have a mental vacation as well as a physical.
Yeah. So take a couple of weeks as a break. And then the fifth suggestion, Trent, so we said steel yourself, fall in love with the Word of God, pray, take a couple of weeks as a break, and then development. You need to develop your own sermon skills, whether that's examining someone else, really learning how they do things, reading books, finding resources, getting a feedback loop, whatever it is, you need to develop your sermon skills. The skill set you learned when you went to seminary 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 2 years ago are not enough to take you through your whole ministry. Mm-hmm. Communication is an ongoing process. We should get better at communication. Trent and I are always trying to figure out how we do our podcast better, and we want to be better at it. We want to continue to get better at it because communication matters. And I want to be a better preacher today than I was 5 years ago. We should always be striving to get better. So develop your sermon skills.
Yeah. And I would add to that, Alan, one of the areas that most pastors do not spend a lot of time developing, which I think maybe all of us should work on, is the closing and the response or invitation time. You know, we spend a lot of time putting together the message and even the introduction into the message, but then the response time or the invitation is just like, okay, well, I'm done now. Let's pray. And if you feel like led by God, then I'm going to be here at the front. Make the invitation just as powerful as the message. And so that's an area I would encourage every pastor to work on.
Yeah, and there's some great material about that kind of stuff out there. There's doctoral dissertations on that stuff. I got a lot out of them. Charles Swindoll's Saying It Well book was a great resource that I read on that. Great advice on that. Appreciate you sharing that. The sixth one, Trent, is to get input from your congregation. Sometimes you may not be flat as you think. You may not actually be in a slump the way you think you're in a slump. And so get input from your congregation. Build a sense of a feedback loop. And that's not to get people who just come up to you and say, you know, that was a good sermon, Pastor. But people who can tell you, what was the takeaway today? What was the application of God's word in my life today? Did the stories connect? Or are we connecting at a deeper level? But develop your sense of feedback loops in your church.
Yeah, there were times, Alan, that I would gather people from lots of different age groups and different parts of our church. And yeah, I didn't do it all the time, but then I would gather this group and I would ask them, hey, let's just walk through the last few weeks. And what did you see? What did you learn? Was I connecting? Did I communicate in a way that you could get the message from God's word? And that was helpful. Their responses to me were really helpful as I was planning and, you know, making sure that I was able to communicate with the broad section of our church.
Yeah, so great. Your church, if they come to church, they most likely like to hear you preach. Mm-hmm. Most people don't stick around in a church where they don't like the preacher. So they like you. They want to give you feedback. They want to help you be better. Many of them are praying for you on a regular basis. So their input's very valuable. Mm-hmm. Well, Trent, there's one more because we had six reasons why we get in a slump, but we've got seven ways to get out. And this last one, it's hard to put a finger on, but it's something that's really important. And that's that you have to remember that you are the vessel and God's the one at work. And I think all of us go through a time where we think that our presence doesn't matter, that we're not moving the needle, and that what value are we to God's kingdom? But our faithfulness means something. If God has called us, our ability to get before our church and to fulfill the task that he's called us to fulfill means something to him. And it should mean something to us as a result. So remember, you're the vessel and that God is the one at work.
It's such a temptation, Alan, for pastors, I think, and maybe a lot of others too, but I think specifically for pastors to be seen, you know, and so we think, okay, it becomes more in our minds about us being seen and heard or seen doing something than what in reality it is God who provides the words. It is God who gives us the breath. It is God who gives us his word. I'm glad you put this in the note because it is a good reminder for us to keep things in perspective. I am a servant. I am a slave to the Lord God, and I am not the one who makes everything the way it should be. It's God who communicates through his spirit, through his word.
Yeah, this is one of those lessons, Trent, that we really learned during the time of COVID, because one of the hard parts for many pastors was the idea that they were preaching sermons to a screen, mm-hmm. and no one was saying, hey, good sermon today, Pastor. And pastors' egos took a hit. And those who were open enough and brave enough to have that honest conversation about that realized that, you know, I was thinking more of myself as the center of attention instead of God as the center of attention. And one of the things that we have to be comfortable with when we're in the pulpit is to remember that our job's not to tell the greatest story. Our job's not to tell the greatest joke. Our job's not even to be the greatest expositor. Our job is to be faithful and prayerful and communicate the word of God to God's people and to allow him to work through his word for his name and for his glory. And so we just need to remember that we're the vessel that God uses. And when we do that, it takes a lot of pressure off. And it's not so much about am I in a slump, but am I being faithful? Am I letting God work in me and through me? And he will make the changes. He will work in people's lives. And really, that takes the pressure off. And sometimes that's all you need. You just need to take that pressure off yourself, that performance anxiety that we can get. It's not about your performance. It's about his performance.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we've been talking about being in a slump, much like a baseball player, you know, being in a hitting slump. And pastors can do that, and ministers of all types can get into a slump. And there's lots of reasons why, and several reasons or several ways to get out of that slump. And so, Alan, I appreciate you putting this note together. Is there any last words that you'd like to share?
Well, we do this so you and your church will endure. And to endure, you're going to go through some challenging times, and you'll probably hit a slump or two. But be faithful. Don't give up. And don't get too frustrated. Take some good advice and work your way out of it.
Yeah, so we appreciate that you take time to listen to our podcast. Alan and I do this because we want you to be blessed. We want you to last. And we want your church to last as well. So thank you again for listening. We hope that you will tune in again. And we also hope that you will share this with someone else that maybe it can be a blessing to them too. Thanks again for listening. And we hope you will hear us next time.